Jesus. Praise his holy name forever. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you so much for your anointing, your precious anointing. Thank you for your wonderful love upon us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The righteous for the unrighteous. The holy for the unholy. The loving for the unloving. God, we give you praise, glory, and honor for who you are. Because you could have been anyone at all. You could have displayed yourself as a tyrant. You could have displayed yourself as a demagogue. You could have displayed yourself as anything, Lord. And we would have had to worship you because you were God. But Father, you displayed yourself as love, as humility, as kindness, as compassion. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, all God's people said, Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord and please take your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. I've been meditating a lot this week on the process that God puts us through in life. Life is a very interesting thing. Let me give you an example of the way I've been thinking. I mentioned it at the All Night on Friday, that the same God who would watch, you remember when Moses was about to be born and the Pharaoh issued an edict that any child of any male child 2 years and under would be killed. Do you remember that from Scripture? And the same God that delivered Moses would watch countless male children under the age of two be slaughtered. It's interesting, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why a lot of people, they can't grasp God. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, how unfathomable are God's ways. We don't understand God's ways, really. Let me give you another example. Joseph. Joseph was in prison for what? Just around 4 years? About 4 years, somewhere like that. And the same God, if you read your Bible in the book of Acts, there are five different jailbreaks in the book of Acts. So God has a jailbreaking angel. Isn't that good news? Amen. If you ever end up in the can, you can ask the Lord to say, as long as you're innocent, of course. If you're guilty, stay there. It will do you good. It's the process. Hallelujah. But in terms of this process where God would see Joseph in prison for something he didn't do and just leave him there. Right? The same God who has these jailbreaking angels, like jailbreak after jailbreak after jailbreak. No hassle at all, just bust them out of jail. And yet, this God would have Joseph in prison. Say process. Process. Touch your neighbor and tell him, embrace the process. There's something we have to embrace in life. I serve a God who heals the sick. I've prayed over sick children and watched them get healed, but yet a child of mine died age two. Process. Can you see where I'm going? So, you see, in this life, we need the miraculous. We need the anointing of God. The anointing on our lives is undeniable. The Bible describes God's anointing as his power to remove burdens, he says in Isaiah 10:27, and destroy yokes. But there's something else that we need to become the people of God that God has called us to be, and that's process. Amen. Touch your neighbor again and tell him, embrace the process. It's process. It's the bit you can't get away from. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. The same God that enabled Jesus to walk on water allowed Paul the Apostle to be, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think round about the 11th chapter, in the deep, a day and a night. Well, why didn't Paul just get up and walk off on the water? Anyone here ever walked on water? No, probably because you didn't need to. I've tried. How many have tried? Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, brother. I want this thing, man. If it's in the Bible, I want it. I mean, I sunk every time, but one day, you see, you're laughing now. It's like what somebody said once. He said, when I was a child, I told all my friends at school that when I was grown up, I wanted to become a comedian. And they all laughed at me. He said, but they're not laughing now. That was Bob Monkhouse who said that, yeah. This is a good one. But you see, that's the process. There's something about process. Yes. And you see, you don't know whether or not you're in a process or you are in a position for a miracle until you've pressed in for the miracle. Amen. Does that make sense? I've seen a lot of people, for instance, they get sick, they haven't got any faith, they haven't got any word on the inside of them, and so they default to the, oh, yeah, well, it's a process. No, it's not, you ain't got any faith. You see what I mean? Until you've pushed every lever, until you've twisted every knob, until you've stood, the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, right? Then it's a process. If I get cancer and I stand for my healing every single second until the moment I die, right? Then when I'm dead, you know it was a process. Up until then, I'm believing God. I'm standing on the word. He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. The chastisement necessary for me to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might be alive to God, by whose stripes we were healed. Until that moment, when I close my eyes and open them in heaven, as far as I'm concerned, I'm standing for my healing. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Some of you are looking like Pastor P. You're not. No, don't worry. I'm good. I'm fine. I worked hard in the gym on Friday. Hallelujah. And I'm still alive to share the testimony. Praise God. But there's a process thing. Now, the Lord said that as we engage this thing called life, and you see, like I said at the All Night on Friday, the difference is prayer. You won't know until you've heard the voice of the Lord concerning whatever affliction you're in. Right? I remember one time my wife went away on a work thing to Scotland, and we had this dodgy microwave. Nothing more worse than a dodgy microwave. Anyone had a dodgy microwave? And it's like they blow up, they all sorts of stuff. Anyway, we got this old microwave. I don't know where it was. We just moved into our first home, first-time buyers. And you know, when you're in your first home, you do anything to survive. You do anything to pay the mortgage. I mean, do you remember that stuff we used to drink, this Safeway? Safeway's gone bust now, so I can tell you how bad some of their products were. Woo! Man, some of that stuff was bad. And we used to eat Safeway Economy everything. Economy ham that looked like, you remember the mud flaps on an old car? That's what it tasted. I don't know, maybe to someone else it tasted different, but the ham tasted like mud flaps from a car. Orange juice that tasted like the orange died. Yes. But what was that? We got to pay those bills. So my wife went away on a work thing, and we had this old second-hand microwave because we couldn't afford a new one. They were only 40 quid, but 40 quid was 40 quid. Do you know what I mean? It's like shopping with Peter Hazan. That's expensive. Anyway, don't tell him I told you that. He's working with the kids. I had this old mic, and I got this. I thought I was being clever, so when Joey was away, then I wouldn't have to cook. So I got this chicken chow mein from Safeway, and I put it in the microwave, and I heated it up, and it was still so frozen when I took it out of the microwave that I was crunching ice as I was eating it. Dude, I got a dose of salmonella to beat the band. I was vomiting for 2.5 days. I was so dizzy, I couldn't even get out of bed some days. My hair was falling out. Now you know why I colour it so much. I was a complete and utter mess. And I'm lying there in bed, shivering. I've got 2 duvets and a jumper on, and I'm shivering from my body, just fighting this thing off. I said, Lord, I said, you've got to help me. And the presence of the Lord showed up in my room. And instead of healing me, the Lord, I heard the voice of God. He said, this sickness is not unto death. I thought, thanks for that. Do you know what I mean? Here I am, like, oh. And that's it. Then his presence went away again. And I'm left in the bed, shivering and shaking and just as bad as I was at the beginning. What was that process? In other words, dummy, I'm not going to bail you out if you do stupid things with your life. It's like the person who thinks they're in faith, that they blindfold themselves across the motorway. Splat, middle lane. Do you understand?
Yes.
So I learned this thing, right? So then how do we know the difference between process and believing God for a miracle? Number one, push every lever. Push every door. The Bible says God opens doors, no man can shut. So it doesn't matter. You see, this is the thing. He shuts doors that no man can open. So if there's a shut door in front of you, kick the thing. Because if God doesn't really want you to push through it, then you'll never get through it. But you see, that's the counter thing to the, you know, he says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, what? Knock and the door shall be open to you. Right, I always see that in my spirit like the Metropolitan Police. You know when they knock on the door? Anyone had the knock at 4 o'clock in the morning? A friend of mine, Roger, was a naughty boy. He was a gangbanger from hell. What was that? People's Nightclub. That was his place where they used to shoot real guns in this club down Paddington. Like madness, absolute madness. He used to drive around Tottenham in a car shooting his gun out the window like that, just for fun, just scaring people. Imagine. Hey, he got the knock, 4 o'clock in the morning. I've never seen anything so scary in my life. Police SWAT team in through his doors, in through his windows, first floor and ground floor. You remember Roger and Neville? You remember them? Yeah, that family. Woo! Scary, right? Now, you see, that's what I see when I remember that scripture, knock and the door shall be open unto you. I'm not going to stand. You see, if there's a door, right, that I believe that God has called me to walk through, I'm not going to be there like, rat-a-tat-tat, who is that only... Do you understand? I'm going at this sucker and I'm going to get there in the name of Jesus. Because if God's on the other side, the Bible says he shuts doors that no man can open. So if I end up with a bruised shoulder, then I know that God was on the other side of the door, right? You see, I'm talking to you today about endurance.
Amen.
That's the subject of my message today, endurance. Endurance. There's something about endurance that we all need to develop. I remember when we were when was it? The Easter holidays. We drove up to Scotland to see Phil and Claire Reynolds, the two missionaries that went to the Benin Republic. Then they went to, where was it? France, was it? France. Then they went to India for 2 or 3 years. And they ended up getting a great job in a private school up in Scotland. So we went up to see them at Easter. And they said, you know, they're a real outdoor family. I mean, born outdoors, -4 outdoors. Do you know what I mean? We'd run away. They'd be in T-shirts and all sorts of stuff like that, right? So they come up with this bright idea. I know, let's climb Cairngorm Mountain. So all the kids, even the little ones, are like, yay! I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Anyway, let's do this thing anyway, and let's see how far. Now, I'm in the gym every week with Junior, and he's a punishing taskmaster, right? Anyone who's been to the gym with Junior, you know the score. He's unforgiving and... if he demands 30 out of you, you give him 30, right? So I'm the last up this mountain. We've got a guy who hasn't been in the gym for 5 years. Then we've got the Reynolds family. Then we've got others. We've got kids like 10-year-old, 14-year-old Ben. Yeah, my wife ran off and left me. Struggling.
And you had the dog pulling you.
And I had the dog pulling me up the hill as well. I'm the last up the hill. I get to the cafe, nearly blue, and it's like, there's a cafe like two-thirds, three-quarters of the way up there, you know? And so anyway, we get there, and I'm so embarrassed because I'm the one who's in the gym every week. So I came back down, and I said to Junior, I said, Lord, I said, Junior, we've got to do something, you know, help me here. Because I looked fairly fit, but really on the inside, I wasn't anywhere near as fit as I looked, you know? And he said, well, he said, we'll change your regime. He said, we'll put you on a cardio and an endurance regime. And I thought, wow. That's when this thing about endurance started to hit me, was because I needed whatever endurance brings in life. I knew I needed that thing right there to start pushing me in the right direction. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why that I love going to the gym now, is because I can push into more endurance. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 6:12, it says that by faith and patience, we inherit the promises, right? In fact, if we get that up on the board there, Hebrews 6:12, it says, by faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And I think that the translators of the Bible have done us a disservice by, it's Hebrews 6:12, that they've done us a disservice by translating, is it Hebrews 6:12? I thought, Hebrews 6:12. Is it there? Be not imitated. There we go. Hebrews 6:12. It says, so that you will not be sluggish. You see, when I was going up that hill, brother, I was sluggish. Whoo! Exhausted. Huffing and puffing. Some of you, I can see, you know, it's like, it would be like the worst thing in the world to climb a mountain right now. Look at this. It says, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And if you look up that word patience in the Greek, I think the translators have done us a disservice by calling it patience, because the literal Greek word is abiding under, right? Now, there's a difference between patience. Anyone ever waited patiently for a bus? That's patience, right? But if the bus is on top of you, and you're having to hold it up before it crushes you, then that is the proper Bible meaning of patience. Literally, it means abiding under. So there's a weight on you. There is a pressure on you. Or like with Junior, you know, like there's a bench press of like 40 kilos on you, and you're having to hold that thing for 10 seconds while he then makes you do another five more. He's a torturous man. I don't know why. May God forgive you your sins. Oh, my goodness. You see, so that's the difference between what we call patience and what the Bible calls patience. A friend of mine, we were working in cars, you know, in Tottenham. Back in the day, we had this little area where in the street where I lived, and a friend of mine had a white Jaguar. And one day he was underneath it, and he was going to fix the gearbox on the thing, and he'd loosened three of the four bolts that hold the gearbox in. Now, these Jags, they were heavy cars, like two-ton cars, you know? And he was under the thing, and suddenly the fourth bolt just snapped. And the gearbox, fortunately, he was a bodybuilder like you. He was like way big, stocky. And he held that gearbox until they could get jacks on the thing. You see, now, that is abiding under. Are you understanding the difference? He had to abide under the thing or it would kill him. And there's something about that scripture, that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and abiding under inherit the promises. So there's a promise that God has given you concerning your eternal destination that you have to abide under. I don't know anyone that's perfect. You know, we're all dealing with issues in our lives. And actually, I've discovered that the people who don't think they've got any issues in their lives are the ones with the worst issues. Amen. Right? So In the area of salvation, we are, the Bible says we were saved when we made Jesus Christ Lord. And then it says that we are saved. And then it says that we shall be saved. So our salvation is a destination. There's promises all the way along the way. So by faith and endurance, we inherit the promises. Not by faith and patience. Are you getting the difference?
Yes.
Right. So then, concerning healing, there is promises in Scripture.
Yes.
I'll forgive all your sins. Your daughters shall not miscarry. I'll bless your food and your water, he says, etc., etc. Right? And there's promises concerning those things. Well, we've got to fight and knock for those promises. Right? There's a promise that says, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace, right? So there's a promise for our children. We've got to fight for those promises. God forbid that you ever go through something that, like my wife and I went through, and it wasn't meant to be part of your journey, but because you thought, oh, well, it's the process, you sat back and let it happen. Amen. Amen. You see, there's something about putting your foot there and healing is mine in the name of Jesus. I don't know whether Joseph in prison would have known that God had the ability to break somebody out of jail, because up until then it hadn't happened. So he didn't know, but we know. So if I'm in the can, if I'm jailed, if I go to a country and I preach the gospel and they don't like, I had a dream about a particular nation. I'll tell you one day. And it was, you know, I was just being press ganged into prison. I thought, wow. Now, for some people, you see, they'll go preach the gospel and they'll be jailed for 2 or 3 years, but that's part of the process. But there's absolutely no way on earth I would sit there in prison for 2 or 3 years without believing God every second of every day to be delivered out of there.
Amen.
Do you get the difference? There's certain things, you see, the things that we are supposed to endure, we won't know which ones they are, right? It's like people who suffer poverty and like they get off the ground floor and everything just collapses again. And, the devil's got a way of fighting people like that. Have you ever noticed? I remember in the early days of my prosperity, I remember fighting the devil. Every time I'd get a couple of £100 in the bank, my car would bust, or there'd be something wrong. Something would break at home. Anyone been there? It's horrible. The devil is a punk. Yeah, I mean, he's a demon. He's well named. Huh? Hey. So anyway, But you know, I never stopped that. I said one time, I said, devil, because I heard Jesse Duplantis say this. I said, yes, I'm going to receive that. I said, devil, from now on, I'm too expensive to mess with. Anything that you break or destroy of mine, you see, I'll blame him instantly, even whether he's to blame or not, right? Anything that you destroy of mine, I'm going to double whatever it costs and I'm going to lay it at the altar of God. I'm going to put it in the offering bucket. I had no trouble. In fact, I had so little trouble that one time I actually thought the devil was making sure with his demons that they don't cause trouble on me. Do you know what I mean? Because like such was the blessing, and it started to multiply from that. Why? I put up a challenge. I raised up a standard. Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And there's something about that. It's about putting that fight of endurance into your spirit through the word of God, being equipped to fight. I remember fighting for my prosperity. I remember it. I'm not going to tolerate this thing anymore. Devil, poverty is not my portion. Although he was rich, yet for my sake he was made poor, so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. And if I'm the only one in the body of Christ that will receive that word and take it and be blessed and prospered by it, so be it anyway in Jesus' name. People judge one another what did Prophet Nana say? Like crabs in a bucket. You don't have to, you know, certain Christians, you don't have to put a lid on the bucket. They'll pull each other down. Like crabs in a bucket. May the Lord deliver us.
Yes.
Touch your neighbor and tell them, be delivered from your crab bucket self. Hallelujah. Concerning, you see, concerning our ambassadorship in Christ, right? There's certain things that you need to endure. I remember when nobody listened to me. I mean, I would, you know, I'd share with people, I would counsel them. I would say, oh, well, what you need to do is this, what you need to do is that, what you need to do is the other. They'd go off and do the opposite. Crash and burn in their numbers, right? But like, so?
Right.
I did my job. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. I'm not going to give up just because somebody is like not listening to what I'm saying. No, I'm going to press on. Somebody will hear. Somebody will receive their blessing. Somebody will get further, run faster, fly higher, swim deeper in the name of Jesus. And you only need a few. You only need a few. And then you know, hey, this thing, something is happening here in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So then I read this passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to turn there in your Bible. Hebrews 12. And I just saw a pattern. Now, for those of you that know your Bible, Hebrews 11 is all about what?
Faith.
It's the great faith chapter, right? And you learn about all kinds of people. And then you learn about two different types of people as well. There's some that say, you know, for instance, women received their men back from the dead, right? But then it talks about people being sawn in half and you know, getting their heads chopped off and all kinds of stuff like that. Saying that because of their martyrdom that they would receive a better resurrection. So there's two types of stuff in there in the faith chapter. It wasn't all about hallelujah, Shandai, 15 people got up from the dead. It was also about the ones that died and didn't get up from the dead. Interesting, isn't it? And then he says in Hebrews chapter 12, you turn over there, and there is a word there that just pops up every few lines. He says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us, right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set behind him, what? Endured the cross. Despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who what? Endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. And then he talks about in verse 4, resisting, right? And then he goes on in at the end of verse 5, he says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor what? Nor faint. Nor faint. You see, the opposite of endurance is what? Fainting. That's how I felt going up the mountain. And I'm learning this thing. I'm learning endurance. There's certain things that God, with the swipe of his hand, Bible says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. You think about it. The same God that opened the Red Sea where Moses and his people walked through, the same types of people who were probably 20 years older than Moses would have had sons murdered by Pharaoh. And God saw both things. It's amazing, isn't it? That's the if you like, the paradox of this process that we're in. But endurance is what we need to build. If you're anything like me going up the hill, Lord Jesus, have mercy on you. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? You see, this is the great thing about submission. That's a bogey word in a lot of people's lives these days. Submission, right? When I'm in the gym with this man, I am under his mission. I am sub his mission. Do you see what I mean? Now, when he's in church and he wasn't at the all-night on Friday, I've got the right to kick him for not being at the all-night. Why? Because he is under my mission. Amen. Once we're here. But the moment I get on my gym stuff and I'm in the gym, I am under his mission. Do you see what I'm saying? So this is what he's saying. He said, if You see, Junior could call me his son in the gym. I can call him my son in the faith. When I was drumming in the music team, I was under Rosalind's mission. So she could call me her son in the music ministry, and then I would call her my daughter in the overall ministry. Do you see what I mean? Submission has become a dirty word because we don't understand it. And the whole thing about enhancing the process of life is that we need to understand mission. So, for instance, Joey is under my mission as the head of our family, right? But then if I say to her, my love, I want you to look after the kids, I'll look after the bills, I'll cook three times a week, you cook three times a week, blah, 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 and we're all together, right? Then if she needs me to do something for the children, then I must come under her mission. Does that make sense?
Oh, but Pastor P, the husband is the head of the wife.
Yeah, but if you've given the wife a job to do and she needs your help doing it, then you should come under her mission. Hallelujah. She told me, let me tell you a secret and then we'll close. She told me off the other day because she discovered that, you know this five-a-day thing that you have in raising children, you know, this five fruit and veg. Britain's health was like going to the dogs and children were eating like pizzas and goodness knows what daily without a fruit or a vegetable at all, right? So the government came up with this idea to promote healthy children called five a day. Everyone know five a day?
Yes.
Where you need five portions of fruit and vegetables a day to have healthy children, right? Now, I worked out that Benj and Abby weren't very much into this. So when Joey was going away, we would have our own five a day. But it would be chips, ice cream, burgers, ketchup, anything like that. You see, now that was a bit sneaky because I was then no longer under her mission. Do you see what I mean? She said, you know, she'd go away, she'd say, Paolo, look after the kids when I'm gone. And of course, we'd be straight down McDonald's. Thank God for McDonald's, man. We'd have starved. How many of you would have starved? All right. Hallelujah. So I'll say a couple more here because I want to get it into you. Verse 7, we've looked at that. It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, right? And then he says in verse 14, pursue peace, chase after peace. So peace might run away, but you've got to endure to catch up with it. Yes. Hallelujah. And then he talks about, let me find the last couple, and then we'll pray. Oh, that's it, actually, from Hebrews 12. Yeah. That's the last of them. Endurance, discipleship, resisting, endure. May the Lord give you a spirit of endurance in the name of Jesus. Psalm number 40, that's the one I wanted. Psalm number 40, I want to show you something here. This to me is one of those great mysteries of Scripture, you see. This is how endurance works, right? In the first verse of Psalm 40, look what it says. Psalm 40 in verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Right? Now look at verse 17. This is the last verse in Psalm 40. Since I'm afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and deliverer. Do not delay, O God. So at the beginning of the psalm, he's saying, I waited patiently. And then at the end of the psalm, he's saying, Lord, hurry up.
Right.
Hurry up. I'm reaching the end of my endurance. This gearbox is on top of me. And if I don't get help quick, I'm going to get crushed. Help. That's where your endurance manifests. Do you understand? I hope this helps you in your faith. Because it's one of those tricky little mysteries that we get. How do I know whether this thing is process or whether I'm standing for a miracle? And the answer is stand for the miracle until you can't stand anymore, and then stand some more and press through. You'll get that spirit of breakthrough. Anyone who's been to the gym, you know what I'm talking about. There's that point that you think you can't go any further. And then he says, now give me 10 more. Hey, help. That's what I'm talking about. May it be so in your faith in Jesus' mighty name. Stand to your feet right now. We want to thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor. And I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in us so that you can accomplish great things through us. Father, that we are counted as sons and not illegitimate children because of our ability to endure. We're not ones that will put our hand to the plow and look back and therefore be counted as unworthy of being called your disciples. But Father, we put our hand to the plow. We look forward and with patient endurance, we will inherit those promises, Father. Thank you for the ability to abide under, that no matter what circumstances are, those circumstances are subject to change. And we give you praise and glory for it, Lord God, that you give us that ability to push through to the next level. Father, may everyone under the sound of my voice push through to the next level in Jesus' mighty name by patient endurance, Lord God, by patient endurance with your word in our mouths and a two-edged sword in our hands that we will push through to the next level. There's greater heights, there's deeper depths, there's further distances. Lord God, we shall achieve what you have called us to achieve. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.